The Sentai Review, episode 138, Power Rangers Turbo, part 1. Okay, we are back, and we are back to do another series.
Okay, there we go.
That's assuming that it picked up on the mics and stuff.
Well, yes and no, but technically speaking, it's anything over, what is it, 5 or 7 seconds?
I can't remember. I thought at one point you said 10 seconds.
It used to be 10, then I know that they changed it, and it don't fucking matter. Yeah, that's kind of true. Excuse me, Hardee's is coming back to kick my ass.
But yeah, we're back to cover Turbo, at least the first 15 episodes. And, actually something to help us along the way.
Oh yeah, the DVD. Because technically speaking, here? I got the Netflix, so I mean, I can read the Netflix overviews.
And, around the room?
Seth Lovell Sario.
Scott Action Jackson.
Reploid Bill William Bush.
Oh my God!
That's what the song was for.
Finally. Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
Mm-hmm. And we got the bill back!
Yes. Without going into mass detail, if you've been watching Keeping Up with the X-Men, not that I expect too many people have, because that show came to a goddamn screeching halt, too.
That's okay. I got another DVD for you, and it's just for you. Here you go, sir.
I've been busy at an outlandish level, and I'm really still busy. I just can finally make it. Oh, shit!
It was like $4, son.
I just got the motherfucking Dolph Punisher. Oh, shit.
Dolph Punisher.
Because we need more facts of the Dolph, goddammit. That's what's been killing the show.
Oh, I need to drop the facts of the Dolph. Damn. I want to watch the shit up out of that and laugh my ass off.
I was literally at Walmart buying up, like, fucking food and shit, and I was like, I'm going to go see the DVDs right there in the front, $4 tag on it. I was like, oh, fuck, Bill needs this.
Did you see that Kroger's was trying to sell fucking Super Mario?
I posted that shit. What the fuck?
That was awesome. I was like, you better get out here now because it's going to sell fast.
So with this Turbo, we decided to go with the first 15 episodes.
Yes. The reason this decision was made, actually, is because normally we were trying to do this in one parts and two parts, just to get them out of the way.
To try and do two parts.
But then what hit me was that on Zio, we accidentally did three parts. It wasn't on purpose. We got talking about the first episodes and yada yada and this and that, and certain conversations drug out. And because it was so fresh in our mind, we were able to talk about almost every single episode.
Right.
And I actually think that when I went back and I listened to it, ZO, ZO1, ZO, ZO2, and ZO3 are damn good episodes because there was more conversation about the universe and what was happening in the show and the storylines and things instead of just quipping our way through it almost. We're like, we were going like, that episode, that episode, that episode, that episode, talk about this one. Like, it made the show better. And in order to make sure that these reviews can finally be done, I got to thinking about it. If you watch 3 episodes a day for 1 week, you're at 15. This series is only 45 episodes. That's 15 episodes apiece. We can knock this out in literally 3 weeks if we wanted to. It's manageable. And we can guarantee to get these damn reviews out finally. Because this has been stalemating us hard. It has been hard to guarantee when we say, hey, guys, kill out 50 episodes. Some of our team can't won't do that.
Right.
I'm not going to say can't, because that's a load of shit. Won't.
And on top of that, me and Seth went backwards and started covering the Saban's Masked Rider.
I watched it. Yeah. I watched it. I enjoyed it. And I was,
look,
I got to admit.
The only thing that came out of Masked Rider is I found me some booby pictures.
That's dude, I did not realize that was her.
Yeah.
Like, when I see her, the makeup and everything, that does not look like the same woman. Like, that kind
right.
of blue. When you said, oh, it's her, and I said, what? Because I knew her.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know her was her.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Because I'm thumbing through the listings, and I was like, okay, because they've got, you know, the pictures of everybody now as opposed to back then. So it's like, okay, here's, you know, grown-up dude who played Dex. Here's the dad. Here's the I'm like, okay, cool. And then it came to the mom, and I'm like, why does she look so fucking familiar? I know I just got done watching the show, but she looks a little bit more familiar. And I hit the thing, and I go to Wikipedia, and I'm thumbing through, and it's like, okay, she was a model first, then became a fucking actress, then went back to modeling, then jumped over and did, like, a whole bunch of other fucking movies and TV shows and more adult roles, like, you know, fucking guest starring in Nip Tuck and Naked Shower
right,
scenes.
Right,
right. I was like, oh, maybe that's where I'm getting it. Okay. Nope. Playboy. Oh, fuck.
That's where I've seen her, he says.
And I did an excellent job of covering up the parts on the video.
You actually surprised me on a fact that you guys dropped on that one that I did not know about King Mondo.
Oh,
that
yeah,
one had completely slipped me. I had no clue about that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, literally because, like I had said there, I did the same thing for Turbo that I did for Masked Rider, which is I turned it on, I let it play, and because my phone has, like, the tent backing to it, so I could just do one of these.
Yeah.
Okay, now I can watch as I sit here and do whatever. So I'd sit and I'd play Minecraft or fucking whatever else, which I had an entire week of not being able to play anything else because I left my wireless mouse here, and playing a first-person shooter on the touchpad
is the best.
Let me look. Now I can move. Now I can look. Now I can move.
Oh, you were playing Resident Evil then. Original Resident
the
Evil.
The best
yeah,
would have been
felt like that. Yeah.
The best would have been if he would have tried to go online and compete like that.
Get the Resident Evil Half-Life, online. Half-Life 2 and fucking Minecraft.
Uh-oh.
Good luck. It's off. Hold on. Hit a button. Turn it up. Hit a button. You're on.
Dude, can you imagine had you gone online and fucking pwned the shit out of, like, some 10-year-old. They'd be like, hey, baby. You'd be like, I just schooled your ass on a touchpad.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, that's true.
Fucking retire, bitch. You've just been beat by the touchpad.
Yeah.
So, here we are. We're going to talk about Billy's Rangers. And I'm sticking to that.
Right.
I actually think that I've seen even more evidence in this. And I realize, let us put this out there right now. This is hardcore fan retconning. That's what it is. But there's a strange amount of evidence given to us that makes me feel like this really could have been Rangers that were developed by Billy.
And now that you say that, I feel extra stupid for not paying attention because I forgot about the This is Billy's Rangers fan theory.
Yeah.
Because literally in the middle of me writing down like some of the... Because I watched this last week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's why I was so pissed in the last episode is we said, or everybody said, yeah, we're going to be there. So I said, okay, let's watch Turbo and get shit done. So I just kind of like thumbed through the listings on Netflix, like I said, to be like, okay, here's the episode recap. Okay, I know, and I was going to write down some notes from memory.
Yeah.
And then turns out, no, all I ended up doing is kind of writing down alternate episode titles.
Wow.
So, like, because we could blow through the first three real quick.
Actually, we can't. There's something huge, huge, that I realized about the first three episodes that I can't believe I never caught before.
The movie's canon now?
And here's the thing. Well, no, the movie is canon, yes.
Yeah.
But there's something going on in these first three episodes that I can't believe I never realized. And I probably didn't realize it because I hate this series. I do. There's something about this series that just does not do well with me. But now that I'm looking at it in a different way, And this is important. When you review something, you have to throw away your bias. You have to say, yes, I don't like this. But my job right here is to watch and analyze and think about the episodes and then come up with, you know, we come up with jokes and shit. But we do a lot of analyzing. And it never occurred to me that this is something we have never seen and may never see again in Power Rangers. What is Rita Repulsa?
Based off the show, they claim her to be like the true queen of evil.
You just, no, that's fine. She's the true queen of evil. Empress, evil,
Empress
space
Rita.
Witch, Empress Rita.
Yeah.
And how much experience does she have?
Thousands of years.
Yeah, thousands.
Okay, what is Lord Zedd?
Somebody with more time.
Yeah, more time, more experience, and now her husband.
What is Master Vile?
Their parent.
So, technically, it's stepdaddy now for Zedd, yes.
Still, that's even more time being evil.
Even
stuff.
More time.
Yeah.
What is weird, stupid... Okay, we're not to him. No, we are to him. What is stupid Goldhead Man?
Oh, from the Masked Rider.
Same Lord universe.
Dragon. Yeah.
Was even introduced in Power Rangers.
Since he's the rival of Lord Zedd.
Which means he also... is very experienced. What is King Mondo?
King Mondo. That might be a little less because...
I actually think he's more experienced than both of them.
But less time.
Less time.
Yeah.
But I think that he's more dangerous because of the way that they supposedly...
The knowledge they could have gained.
Yes, because they're an AI.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're not like the others. I mentioned it. King Mondo, unlike his other followers, King Mondo was about, well, I just lost. That didn't work, we'll try something else. You know, I don't remember him bitching when he lost. I remember him figuring things out. Now, his son followed the trope of what came before us with, like, Zedd whining
and
stupid, things like that. But King Mondo was an AI.
Stupid can't kill some stupid teenagers, what the fuck?
And King Mondo would often say... Like, because then his son did that stupid thing where he did the video thing, and at the end he didn't be like, oh, see, I told you you'd fail or something. He said, well, at least this is done. We can get back to work. Like, he made comments like that where he'd be like, huh, the next batch will have to be stronger or something.
Yeah.
He knew that he was failing, but there was something to be learned in failure. The other guys have been whining. Now, what is Divatox?
A pirate.
And how much experience does she have?
One encounter with the Rangers.
None.
Yeah, none.
She has no experience.
Yeah.
This is her first time. Now, I don't understand how she came into power. We're never given that exactly. But there is solid proof that she has never done this. One, she did not know the Power Rangers existed.
Right.
The reason you can prove this is because in the movie, when they show up...
She calls Rita.
She has to make a phone call to be like, hey, I was going to ask you about these Rangers. And she literally phrases it like, these Power Ranger things.
Yeah.
Have any advice? Because they're chapping my ass.
Yeah.
Run! Yeah. And then Rita's like, oh, that's your first time? Bitch, you have no idea. What is coming for that ass?
Yeah. Look at what I'm putting up with as Zedd is snoring.
Yes.
And she's like, you see this? This is what you get for dealing with them.
When we start the movie, Divatox is setting out for her first campaign, and she has an idea. She's going to use her feminine wiles to grasp onto a guy that knows how to do this and run the universe.
Yep.
That was her idea. Scary, stupid rock lava fish man.
Yep.
Comes out of a pit thing, and she's like, hey, baby, and she shakes the yabos.
Yep.
And...
because she's looking to be Empress Trophy wife.
Yes. Yep. She knew she couldn't do it. She didn't have any experience. She was willing to play the trophy wife to climb the ranks.
Yep.
Here, everybody in the show is established. Zedd had a command crew. It was Rita and the people that he'd sent off to do their business without him. Rita had a command crew. She had Finster and everybody to make monsters. Zed didn't have Finster. That was somebody picked up by Rita because Zed had no purpose for a guy that makes clay monsters.
Well, technically, I was going to say, Zed and some of those other guys are also the American Power Rangers, not the Sentai stuff. So,
no, but true, that's what we're reviewing, though. That's what we're reviewing.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at Goldhead guy, he has a command crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mondo has a command crew. These are established crews that have destroyed planets, that have ran through the universe, that have been proven they know they work. She doesn't have one.
She has a few people.
She has none.
Yeah, she has nothing.
When the first episode starts, she's hiring them. She's been on one mission with them.
Yeah.
Which, who knows why they were in league in that first mission to go get her a husband.
Except for that one cousin, whatever.
The other dude's a cousin, so he might be doing her a weird favor or something, originally, until she realized he was a frickin' moron.
Yeah, so technically that's just family that she's dragging along because he might have been the one who, that's his fucking submarine.
That's true. We don't know the story here.
It's kind of like the thing of, hey man, like in high school, hey man, I was thinking of going to the mall. You want to go with me? Because I don't have my license or a car, but you do. And I really want to go to the mall so I could go there and just fuck around at GameStop.
Yeah. So this is interesting because the first episode, she hires that guy to be her science advisor.
Yeah.
She hires that guy to command and train her troops. She hires Elgor because he wouldn't shut up.
Because he's got the ride, man. We need a mystery machine.
And this is the first time she has seen this submarine. It seems like she should have already seen it, but when she walks on deck in the first episode, she's like, oh, it's beautiful. It's hers now. So whatever was going on in the first one, whatever that sub was, even if it was the same sub, it wasn't her sub somehow. Yep.
It might have been like on loan or something.
Yeah, something like that. Because now there's an atmosphere when she walks in, she's like, this is mine. And it's just like the first time you drive your friend's car, you drive your dad's car. But the first thing that's yours, the first apartment that's yours, house that's yours, system that's yours, like you used to borrow your dad's Xbox or whatever. This is not for us, but I'm talking to the audience that would be coming in, guys at like 10, 12 years old. They know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
At some point, they had to borrow stuff.
Yep.
But the first time you get something that's yours, the first time you buy a system off your own money, the first time you buy movies off your own money and put them on your shelf, there's a different feeling to, this is mine, I earned it, I paid for it, it's my shit.
Yeah, it's kind of the difference between, like, the VHSs that are sitting there that are supposed to be for you and your siblings, as opposed to, this is the first DVD I bought with my own money, this is my shit. Like the time when I was fucking 19, and I bought my own fucking porno, and my mom came in and said, what is this magazine? And I said, that's mine. And she said, it's trash. Rip. And I said, well, great, there's $20 down the drain. Thanks a lot. There's a difference between the two.
There's a difference between porno he stole
because
he was too young to buy it,
and
she ripped it up, as opposed to porno he bought that was his shit.
Yeah.
There's a different feeling, and you can see that in the first episode when she walks into the sub, it's hers now. There was a different emotion when she walked in the sub. She builds the command crew. Now, let's go to the Billy thing real quick. I do still believe that Billy built these powers, and I'm going to tell you something. I think there's another proof that Billy built these powers. I think these are stable Zeo energies. I think he utilized the catalysts he had, the Zeo crystals. That's what he had. He didn't have anything else to work with at the time. And he knew from dealing with Jason and things like that, that something was wrong with these powers. They were getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and they were starting to work against the users.
Yep.
It almost killed Jason. And that's when he started realizing, I think he figured something out, that it's happening to Jason. And you could say, well, Jason's different. Jason is still Zeo energy. And if that's true, and that energy was not made to be utilized by humans, then the rest of the team is in danger. And they're just not there yet. But they're in danger.
Yep.
Billy reworks this energy source through a different catalyst, one he understands. You notice that everything they use is guns, cars, things that make sense for Earth.
Yep.
the key, the Morphers, it all makes sense because it was built for the first time ever here. It wasn't intergalactic strange dinosaur robots that came from who knows where, because Ninjor is definitely not born
Ninjor!
On Earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is something strange. This is something he built it here. And there's weird little pieces of evidence. Like, what does Billy understand? The Mighty Morphin powers. What's one of the things the Mighty Morphin powers did? Well, you have five sets of weapons. You put them together. It forms a blaster. You shoot it.
Yep.
It's been a while since we've really seen that happen.
I mean, Tommy knows it. But
they didn't do it in Zeo.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. Yeah, they didn't do it in Zeo. The weapons didn't combine. But you know what's interesting? In Turbo, they combine the weapons and make a blaster gun. There's that truck that comes out.
Yep.
That car. And they put the weapons together, and it creates a blaster.
Yep.
That's from the Mighty Morphin era. That is the powers he knows the best. He worked on them. He fixed them. He repaired them. He knows them. He was one of the first guys there. You know, he's an original carrier of the energy. He understands it. So when he was building this power, there's a lot of weird throwbacks to Mighty Morphin in this power grid that seem to go back. Oh, and
speaking of Billy,
the way they're designed, the way the powers are designed, like the way the Zords work, I'm going to tell you something. You may not like me for this comment. The Turbo Zord is the strongest Zord we have ever seen.
Yeah.
It is the strongest Zord we have ever seen. There is no wasted effort in the Zord. Unlike other Zords that were overly complex or just, you know, they just served a single purpose or whatever, Billy knew from his time as a Ranger what worked and what didn't work. And he said, all this crap's gotta go. He needs a frontal cannon assault from his chest. He needs a shield because that makes a lot of sense. He needs a sword. And we need to not be outdone by the guy that's faster than us.
Yep.
And we need to be able to utilize our experience to put down monsters right now. Because he's also been around for things like Doomsday and seen how much damage can occur to the city.
Yep.
So these Zords were built with the idea that the monsters, once we have the Zords, they will follow us. And instead of fighting in the city, when I have the chance, I can use these stupid tires and flip us out to the desert in seconds.
Yep.
And they'll come to us, and we could save a lot of lives by simply not fighting over there.
Yeah, not being in fucking downtown Angel Grove.
Because there's not many of these battles that we get to talk about where it was like in a city.
Yeah.
And what does this Zord often do? It's built in a way that as it stands up, because the thing goes cheek, and then they hit the brakes, and it goes, and it starts standing up. They're moving so fast at that point that actually there's even an episode where they do it. As they stand up, they don't slow down. They stand up and just immediately go into the run through.
Yep.
And kill the guy. Hmm. They said, Turbo Zords, get the saber right now. They stood up and
Finish
went directly
it.
Into the spin. There wasn't
yep.
even a fight with the monster. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
You remember?
Yeah, I know.
Because
yep.
it's like that dumb lady is like, I'll show them. Make that monster get all huge. The monster grows and they're like, let's end this. Do breaks, stand up, cut the guy, done. We're going home now.
Yeah.
Not even a minute long battle. Monster
yep.
is dead.
Yeah,
so
they literally fucked around. The monster grows, they fuck around and, like, shoot some lasers at it, and monster's like, too strong for lasers, and they go, oh,
well, then let's end
hold
it.
On.
And the sword doesn't come from the sky, it doesn't have to be pulled from a strange, it's weird, it forms.
Yep.
It's always on hand. So unlike other times, what's wrong? Oh. Oh,
okay,
that's fine.
Never mind.
That's fine.
I'm being careful with this.
Unlike other times in the series that we have seen, this is very different, and it seems like there's no wasted energy in the Zord. It was all built for streamline combat, just light enough to be fast,
right.
just strong enough to be devastating, and everything that it was built from is something that makes sense. It came from Earth. These are Billy's Rangers. Billy's Zord, Billy's power, Billy's Rangers, Billy's weapons. It's strange because I know it wasn't built like this.
Yeah,
because this is a Sentai show.
Yeah, but it
works perfectly. These are Billy's Rangers.
Yeah, which, speaking of which, there's 2 points to that. The first, obviously you can't tell that the Sentai was meant to be a joke. Now when you go back and you watch the footage back.
Speaking of which, did you notice when it goes to the Sentai? Even though it was a joke show, have you noticed that we took that Rigor or whatever, and we took those two monsters and we made them look really dumb? And then when you see them,
they look hard.
They look awesome. Yeah,
they look like how they did when he first showed up. Like fucking, you get Elgor hanging out with the fucking plus and minus guy later on the dirt bikes, and he's got like deep reds to his face, like he's all scratched up. Looking more menacing, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, he looks so fucking cool!
And then the fucking big bulky dude in all the armor, like...
Yeah, he looks awesome! It's smaller, like there's more skull to it instead of skin. They look cooler when you see the Sentai counterparts.
Yeah, exactly. And then to the other point, speaking of Billy... So we have Billy as Blue and Mighty Morphin, right? He's the genius.
Yes, yes.
Now we get to Turbo, right?
Yes.
Now we have, you know, little kid who's a super genius. So Blue is super genius.
Which still goes into the weird, there's almost like a Lanterns thing still taking place here where obviously the colors are tied to some sort of personality grid.
But now I have to go back. If Blue is the genius, how butt-fucked was Zeo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We didn't think... I don't know if you guys thought of this, because like I said, I wasn't in on the Zeo
Even stop to think about it.
Rocky's supposed to be the Blue guy, which means he's the smart one, and Rocky...
Okay, now hold on. Let's break this down for 1 second real quick. Let's give Rocky the only thing I'm ever going to fucking give him, because I hate him.
his super spinning
I don't hate him. I hate what they did to that poor kid's character, but let's talk about the characters real quick. For Zeo, there's... Red, not a genius.
Right.
Move on. Who's next?
Okay, now we got Pink.
Pink, not a genius. Not stupid by any means, don't misunderstand me, but not a genius. Move on.
Okay, so here's a yellow.
Is a genius, but was 9 years old yesterday. Move on.
Yeah, okay. So let's see here. We got a red, a pink, a yellow. How about a green?
Not a genius.
Keeps getting dicked on.
And he's constantly dicked on, so yeah.
Now we've got Blue.
Now, here's the weird thing. Blue, for as much as I don't care for him, was the only one with an episode that showcased that he had to have been, even though they make him look like an idiot, oftentimes he's the guy failing tests and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
He was the only guy chosen for the teacher exchange program.
Yep.
He got to be a teacher at Angel Grove High for a week, while the teacher had to switch places and become a student. He was the only one chosen for that program.
Which episode was that?
I don't remember what episode it was, but you know what I'm talking about. You remember that episode.
Yeah, I remember.
He had to play teacher, and the teacher had to become a student, and the teacher kept trying to correct the other teacher, being like, that's not right, do that, fix that, hey, students, be quiet in here. And the teacher got on him and was like, hey, you shut up. You're a student right now. That means you're disrupting the class, jackass.
So you shut the fuck up or go see the principal.
And Rocky had to walk around with books and learn something about how hard the teacher job really was and whatnot.
Yeah,
and he kept dropping the books.
Remember that one.
It was a weird one-off, stupid, throwaway episode. But maybe the reason he was selected is because maybe while he wasn't a genius, maybe because he inherited the Blue powers, maybe it was picking his intelligence up. Maybe he had the best year of school he's ever had once he got the Blue powers.
Yeah, but again, compared to Tanya, who's apparently the super genius.
Oh, without a
by
doubt.
By the way, now you have to redo the Wile E. Coyote fucking card that you have for Dex.
nine going on 19. Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, now you think about it, and it's like, wait a minute, Rocky is Blue. Blue's supposed to be the super genius. Oh, God, those Rangers were, no wonder they were so powerful.
So, in this intro, We don't have to go into much because the movie did our origin.
Except right. for The Graduation.
We do have to talk about, right. we're going to talk about three, okay, we're going to talk about The Graduation. We're going to talk about what jobs the Rangers got.
Yep.
Got.
And then you know what else we're going to talk about?
Chimps.
Fucking monkeys.
Oh no, there's a fourth thing that we have to talk about.
Oh, and I'm going to finish my point that she has no experience.
Oh, that wasn't the other point I was going to say. I was going to talk about, later, bitches. Here's my stand-in cheap replacement. I got other shit to do. I'm done with you motherfuckers.
Rocky left in the first three episodes, didn't he?
Actually, that was his out.
We already knew he was going, to be fair, and he's already been replaced by a...
Kid.
Oh, no, I'm talking because, let's see. My notes for episodes 1 through 3 is movie recap.
Yes.
We've already touched on it. Monkey, Bulk, and Skull. And, Question Bitch and Jersey Alpha. Oh, you forgot? Zordon said, don't look in the basement. I'm out, bitches!
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Okay, so first off, to finish the fact that she's new, I have one more piece of evidence that proves that she's never done this. She keeps on trying different stupid things throughout this series that are stupid.
Like pipe bombs?
And the only thing that she seems to know...
is blow stuff up.
Is she knows that... And those detonators are weird because they don't blow up. Like, if they blow up, they cause... Like, it's weird. There doesn't seem to be a consistency. Sometimes it's a bomb that blows up, and it's devastating. Sometimes it's a bomb that blows up, and it's like a couple sparks, and who even cared? It couldn't even blow apart a wood racer.
Yep.
Then, every now and then it blows up, and whatever it blew up becomes a horrifying monster.
Yep. Which, by the way, now we have been corrected. Our favorite Zord is not a Zord, it is a monster.
Yes, the Dolph Lundgren ride to work is definitely created from a mass explosion of awesome.
The fire engine monster
Yeah,
thing.
Which sucks because that thing is so fucking sweet.
So, during this thing, she uses all these stupid things and she only knows like one or two tactics. My guess is she knows a couple tactics that she's seen work from other people that she may have been associated with. And she's like, I'm just going to do that.
Yep.
It worked for them. It worked for me. But she's never dealt with Rangers. She doesn't know what that is. And they just keep cock-blocking the shit out of her.
Yeah, because her major plan is, okay, I'm going to blow up Angel Grove. Oh, wait, the Rangers will find the pipe bomb I've left lying around. Here's a monster to distract the Rangers.
Oh, she doesn't make monsters.
Yeah.
Most of these monsters that show up are like friends with Elgar, or like they're actual monsters out in the
whatever
monster community.
Yeah,
because they're like hired help.
Yeah,
and then like one time she sent the submarine's pet. It's like a weird pet that's like eating stuff in the submarine, and she sent that to go fight. So like she's just utilizing whatever she has. She doesn't necessarily make monsters that often because she's like hiring them. It's very different.
Or they're friends of friends or ex-lovers.
And in these first three episodes...
knocks on the door and they're like, hey,
yeah, the music
no
guy.
Soliciting. Meanwhile, the sign says no smoking.
Yeah, I kind of laughed at that. Can't you read the sign?
Apparently you can't either.
So stupid, but I did. I got to admit, I laughed on that one. So look, out of all that, there's one other thing that she doesn't have. The Rangers have a gigantic, colossal death machine that is easily the strongest of the death machines we have seen.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it's broken. It cannot be defeated when piloted by people with experience. Because this Zord will get decimated, but not until we go back to rookies.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's interesting that it shows that this Zord was built by Billy, under the idea that these guys know how to operate it. The next guys coming along, implant knowledge through the morphing grid, but they're not. There's a difference between knowledge and experience.
Yeah,
they don't have the experience.
Yep.
So you'll see that the Zord will start having to, I don't know, fight. For 15 episodes, this Zord had one fight.
Kick.
One fight. Otherwise, yeah. It was like laser death.
Yep.
It was broke as shit because the guys in it are like, we know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this Zord is streamlined for the way that we fight. We're going to wreck shit now.
Yep.
They're unbeatable in this thing. It's untouchable.
You know, the weird thing is every time when I saw the Megazord twirl around and do its finisher, I kept thinking about what you were talking to Shane about.
I'm getting so sick.
Having seizures, fucking right. Puking in your helmet. The guy to your left is dead. You yeah. may be next.
Yeah, that's a terrifying finisher at that. And they drop down to that knee. Can you imagine what that is on your stomach? We've already talked about how tall this damn thing is.
Yeah.
You go down on a roller coaster, you're like, oh, unlike the Batman, and it's whipping you around. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This thing drops, but boom, you just fell like 5 stories.
Yeah, it's like riding the Mr. Freeze every time you got to go. It's like, oh, we're connected.
Mr. Freeze.
Not anymore.
Mr. Whoop. Freeze while spinning.
Yeah.
While strobe lighting in your face.
Yeah.
It's the most terrifying finisher ever for both the monster that you're coming towards.
I'm not gonna lie.
Cause they're like, oh shit! Cause there seems to be no time. No monster has ever been able to dodge this. And
yeah.
That's not to say that any monster is ever smart enough to dodge, cause like when the lightning sword, lightning on my sword, and then they attack and the monster's always dumb enough to wait.
Yeah.
But, like, this thing doesn't seem like you would be able to do anything about it. Like, they're coming for that ass, and
yeah.
they're fast as shit.
Yeah, you see them coming at you, you blink, you
and
open your eyes.
And then they're spinning.
They're spinning. You're like, oh, shit, you blink. You open your
you're
eyes,
dead.
They're in your face dead.
Yeah, there's like, no time. Yeah, it looks like this is a dangerous machine.
And no offense, but I swear to God, I wish we had, like, 1,012,000 fucking YouTube followers and had all the money in the world. Because I swear to God, as a sideshow, we need to do the actual experimentation on this shit. Like, how does it feel to be going, like,
yeah.
7,000 miles an hour, spinning with strobe lights, and then dead stop?
While wearing a claustrophobic headpiece.
Yeah.
Because that headpiece is not just a helmet. They also have to wear this glove.
Yeah.
There's like a face glove that comes down around and it pads all your face and shit. And then you put the helmet on top of that. And then you spin 7,000 times whilst dropping 5 stories instantly.
Yeah.
And then you stop.
Yeah.
You just stop.
So again, the science of, is this even plausible? Because again,
While morphed, maybe, because you're broke as shit. Humans, I'm pretty sure you're dead.
Yeah.
I don't think you can handle the G-force on that robot.
Yeah, because again, you're going to be fucking puking and fucking
seizures. Because you could say, oh, well, jet guys can handle massive G-force. That's true, but they're not spinning at near light speed.
Yeah,
They don't spin so fast that it looks like the Zord is standing still with an illusion tactic.
Yeah, the closest thing that would come to that is if one of the engines goes out. And then they're going to be spinning going, oh, fuck.
And then
oh,
they're
fuck,
dead.
Oh, fuck. Pull the thing. Ejector seat.
I think they're
fuck
dead.
Fuck you, ejecto seat,
once
bitch.
They're going that fast and it turns sideways, I think they die. I don't think. But there's this interesting. The Rangers have a giant death machine.
Yeah.
She had nothing. Her scientist had to devise a way to reformat her torpedoes.
To make monsters. My monsters grow.
She
yeah.
couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. There hasn't been an enemy yet that's shown up in the show that didn't already have it. She figured it out in this origin. This is her origin, not ours.
Yep.
It's weird
because
we've never seen this.
Movie.
Yeah. Oftentimes with the Rangers, we get a Ranger's origins.
We already had it.
This is hers.
Yep.
These Rangers have been established for years. And sure, it's an origin of new powers in a way, if you count the movie. But this is her origin. She is learning how to do this.
Yeah.
And that's another reason she's so irritated by her failures, is it's not like Zed, where he's had the victories that he can fall back on, or like when Rita says, ah, let's use this person. And oftentimes they'd be like, yes, we used that person to fight Zordon's warriors on Stratus 2957 or whatever, mm-hmm. and he defeated them. He was the Dark Knight and yada yada, and we'll give that sword to the Green Ranger, and we've had victories before. She's got no history.
Yep.
None. She's new.
Yeah.
That is really different than anything we have ever seen. Ever. Bulk and Skull are fucking chimps.
And Bulk
well, actually, before we get to Bulk and Skull are chimps, I was going to say, and the other thing that gets even more interesting is, again, the only backstory that you get for the Rangers is, oh, by the way, here's this. We're literally going to show you clips from the movie in case Mommy and Daddy didn't have $20 to take you and them to go see the movie.
Yep.
That's the most you get for a Ranger backstory is, you didn't go see the movie? Well, fuck, here's about 5 to 10 minutes of the actual movie yep. played for you.
This is the first villain origin we've ever got.
Yeah.
Villains usually just show up, and while you could count it as an origin, like, you could say, oh, this is Lord Zedd's origin, it's not.
I was going to say, what about, well, I don't know about
because they're
Zedd's
already
kid.
Established. Like, when Zedd shows up, he's already the emperor of all that I see.
Yeah.
And she's already 10,000 years sealed away, horrible evil that's already done horrible things.
Yeah.
Divatox, nobody even knows her name.
Yeah. Technically, you do slightly have a point with Rito, but meh.
Yeah, but he's even established.
Yeah.
Because he's Rita's brother, which establishes, it's not exactly an origin, but
Zedd's son, not...
Yeah, you're talking about that weird guy that shows... we're not there yet.
Yeah, no,
I don't have much I can say about him.
But yeah, he's like a guy who just appears and we don't really know much about it too, but that's there.
The Rangers graduate.
Except for Tommy. Tommy got his diploma early somehow.
Yeah.
Because he's at that thing that we like to refer to as a super senior, which means get your shit together or we're throwing you the fuck out anyway.
And apparently he doesn't... The weird thing about Tommy during this during these first 15 episodes, it's like, we don't see that much of him with the others.
Now, these guys are supposed to... Okay, this is where we enter real life, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
This is when they're supposed to graduate and get jobs. So let's go through that real quick. All of them graduate. They're done. They move on. Rocky gets a job doing...
Whatever.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
so go away.
Graduation, he's gone.
Now that his back is better, you fucking kick rocks, bitch. Now,
spin kicks. There you go.
No. Wasn't he supposed to be like taking over like some of the training in the dojo or some shit? It was something like that. Like he was supposed to be doing like more training and competing.
I wish I'd have paid more attention, honestly, because since the show never did shit for him, I feel like it's almost an obligation that we should have, but that poor guy got shit on, and there's just no reason for me to pay attention to anything he ever did or accomplished, ever.
Yeah.
If I can even name what he accomplished.
Falling out of a ring?
Yeah.
From, like, 30 feet in the air?
It's fucking ridiculous.
Or whatever we claimed it was.
If we go from there, Tommy graduated, and he got a job because of his uncle racing cars. Or building them.
Or ironic.
Testing them.
Or something.
Something.
He has a vague...
He has a garage.
He has a garage, and he works in it, and he seems to be the only one there.
Yeah. They make mention from time to time that he's at the track racing, and then other times he's at the garage with the hood up, just kind of taking a wrench and smacking at the battery, being like... I guess it's fixed.
Yeah.
Because apparently this motherfucker never took automotive.
There was never any indication whatsoever that Tommy knew shit about cars. Ever. I think there was even an episode where some girl's car broke down, and since he didn't know shit about it, he was just going to give her a ride.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
So he became a car
person
guy.
Yeah.
It's vague. It's vague as shit. Like, you see him racing, you see him testing, you see him fixing. He's always in the garage by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it also leads to the idea that it might be his garage, which doesn't make sense, because why would he have that? But he often has his friends over hanging out, including a child who has no business. I don't care. Look, people defend Justin a lot. Justin has no business, as a child, no matter how smart or how much augment he has received, hanging out in some NASCAR mechanic shop.
Yep.
One thing that confuses me is, how does this Tommy Oliver go from this to Dino Thunder where he's a...
where he's a teacher?
Where not only he's a teacher, but he's made his own Zords and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going to definitely talk. When we get there, that's going to be a hell of a discussion because nothing...
We'll kind of get there with the Forever Red episode, too, so...
Nothing we have seen leads to that moment. Like, none of this makes sense. Nothing we have seen leads to this moment. It would have made more sense for him to open his own private studio and been an instructor.
Yeah.
That's what he'd been doing his entire childhood anyway.
Shit, I think it's like, what, episode 4 or 5 or some shit? He's literally... Because the only good thing about Netflix is so long as you tell it, hey, don't autoplay, at the end of each episode, it'll do like... I don't know if it's on the DVDs or what, but they'll do like the
outtakes?
Blooper
outtakes.
Yeah, they're on the credits in the DVDs, so...
Okay, yeah, because they're like when he's training with the girls...
Oh, the...
And they're doing like the judo hip tosses.
Flip.
Yeah, eventually he kind of gets up and he's like, fuck, can we not do any more takes? Like, please, can we not do any... Like,
I think that was like the last two episodes,
look,
I think.
Yeah,
so
he's got that look on his face. Like, you know, they've done like 30 takes of him getting like judo hip tossed. And he's hit the ground and he gets up and he kind of looks like, you know, kind of does that drunk stumble with his arms up trying to like balance himself. He's like, please, no more. Please,
yeah,
like,
no joke.
10 minutes, please. Fucking my head's spinning worse than if I'm in the actual Megazord in real life. Can we stop?
So... Okay, well, Tommy's done. We've moved him on. Kat, she went into teaching. She became
She's teaching / trying out for
ballet.
Stuff.
She's trying other career opportunities that are kind of like some people might want to be a singer, but they still need an actual job.
Yeah.
So her actual job is she, and this makes no sense because all they did was graduate high school. But she must have got a teaching license because she's working as an assistant at Angel Grove High.
Technically speaking, if memory serves, in order to get a degree in teaching, part of it is you have to have hands-on experience.
Yeah, but don't you still have to go to college first?
In most instances, yes.
Because
although you can be like teacher helpers throughout high school as well. So
yeah, you can.
But she's not in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not in high school anymore. Now, technically
now
speaking,
she should be in college, but that's another problem, too, is to what I've seen in the series,
none of them
she's not
going
in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of them.
And if she's not in college and she's not doing anything, then what is her job? Because she's very obviously a teacher's hand, and she even mentioned something like, I'm going to do my first thing here at Angel Grove. And they were like, yeah, that's awesome. And I was like, but why?
Mm-hmm.
And how? Like, how did you land that?
Unless it's basically, it's like they're taking a year off from college. Because technically speaking, they did just graduate.
You can
so
do that.
Usually, like, you can get some summer classes out of the way. Like, I know when I was going to the local community college, technically my SAT scores were shit because I didn't give a fuck. But my SAT scores were such shit that I had to take, like, a summer course for English. So that way, then when I went to college to try to do my architecture program for that first year I went, you know, while they still had me in, like, fucking basic algebra and shit, because, again, I didn't give a fuck, so my score sucked. But to get into even just the base classes I needed for it, I had to take a summer course. So it might be a matter of she's doing that in lieu of summer, like, classes. Like, it's basically, it's building up credits and shit for her, but...
It's just, it's a weird job. I don't understand, because you cannot... You could not act as a substitute teacher and have... Because, look, the implications of what's happening here, she's in charge of your kid.
Yeah.
She's in charge of your kid. She went at a teacher. A lot of people don't realize this, but a teacher, when you are in their class, they are technically your legal guardian.
Yep.
Yep.
Something happens, it's on them.
Mm-hmm.
They are basically your legal guardian. They are supposed to be watching over you. They are held to your well. Your well-being is their responsibility. And she's just some girl that graduated yesterday.
Yep. Unless she graduated with some high grades or something.
Even still.
She doesn't have
a degree. No firm, no school, no state-funded program that I know of would just hire some girl.
You know, this brings up something I've been kind of wondering about. Because through all the Power Rangers shows I've seen, is there any during college?
I actually think there are. I just think we're not there. They play this high school game for a long time.
I think they still are playing the high school game, though.
But I think there are some rare ones. Yeah, there are some rare ones where we break away. Like one of them, like Lost Galaxy, those guys are citizens and soldiers in the service of the military for that weird thing.
But
that,
I mean, like, the whole
space city
series is actually them at college. That's what I meant.
Could be. I'm not going to say it because we're not far enough along. But I know because there's one where they're at a police academy. There's one where they're like, there's a lot of them where it's high school. These guys should have went to college. They went to
fuck off
jobs.
Yeah,
which is fine. I'm not saying you can't do that, but it's weird. It's weird the jobs they went to. So Kat, I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so
I said,
who's next? Tanya. Adam. Tanya got a job at a radio, and it's a professional station. She can't do that either.
Yeah.
Need a communications degree.
Yeah.
I cannot get hired on the radio. I tried.
Yep.
I tried at four different things, and there's an intern program, and you still have to have like a communications degree to even start it.
Yep. Even to basically be the bitch of the radio station where they go, oh, you're the new intern? Go get me coffee, field these calls, and hand out the tickets to the contest winners. Thanks,
so instead,
bye.
I do this.
Yep.
I do a radio show. And
you don't
quite
need no degree.
And quite frankly, I've heard some of them radio shows, and I do better than some of those personalities that we deal with here in Peoria. And actually, the radio's changing. Who knows? Maybe if I used this as a type of thing on a resume and quoted it and showed a bunch of the shows and my experience through Mike, it might be a different story now if I tried to go for something like that, because there are a couple of guys that have gotten morning shows now on radio stations.
From podcasts.
Yeah. There's one right now. We got a thing that plays here in the morning on like 102.3. Mm-hmm. Those guys are actually a podcast.
Yep.
And they're just featured on that radio station.
Yeah, I was about to say, when I was working at the gas station, my boss said that basically one of the dudes who was working third shift for her over at the Pekin gas station, he's down to working like Sunday nights on thirds, and that's it. Because the podcast he had been doing for like 10 or 12 years on like sports and shit got picked up by like ESPN radio.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is they're like replaying some of his podcasts, and then every now and again he'll do like a live episode to be like, oh yeah, this football season this, and this basketball season this, and in golf this, you know, shit like that.
So who knows? The world is changing, but the world was not changing
back then.
She shouldn't be able to get that job. But because she's a super genius, maybe she found a loophole.
Found a loophole when they figured out there's a pipe bomb, but the radio station is somehow
fucking
up with Billy's communicators.
If it would have been college radio or something like that, that she was going for a communications degree and she was working at the station at the college, because that exists. We have college radio here. Bradley has a radio, Bradley University
has a radio station.
Has a radio station.
They should probably have their own radio and TV station. So
I think, I don't know about the TV, but I think they do have some sort of broadcast thing. Because there's a Bradley, there's a Bradley Actors Guild.
Yep.
And there's a Bradley Productions Guild.
I thought there was like a channel on the cable company that
I think
was
there
with
is.
Bradley, so.
Yeah,
because
there is.
there's a Bradley Actors Guild and there's a Bradley Productions Guild. The Productions Guild is a bunch of guys from Bradley University that are skilled in working the equipment, and they use that as kind of like on hands training for when they go to get their actual jobs and whatnot.
Yeah, because on the cable, I think it's like the actual the box and shit. I think it's like...
Oh, wait, maybe it was ICC.
But that girl...
Well, no, ICC does have a channel. Theirs is like 24.
That girl just actually works. That girl just actually works for the radio station.
Yeah.
Because.
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 I think it's 15, maybe?
So, who's next?
Adam.
We got three people. Adam has the only job that makes fucking sense.
Adam's a coach, isn't he?
He's a volunteer coach.
He's a volunteer coach.
So anybody can do that.
Yeah.
I can go do that. I can go be a volunteer coach for soccer right now.
Shit, you can go volunteer coach at your daughter's fucking soccer league.
I can, and I don't got to know shit. I just got to be willing to do it.
Other than kick the ball this way and make sure they don't kick the ball back this way.
They'll be like, do you have a basic understanding of soccer? And I'll be like, it's fucking got...
Kick the ball. Don't use your hands unless you're the goalie.
It's fucking
cool.
Round.
Congrats. Tell the kids.
Yeah, like, yeah. I could do that. But his actual job is he works in a stunt show. He's a performance artist in a stunt show.
On some of the episodes.
Sometimes he shows up in, like, magic uniform,
and
sometimes
directs some of the stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's working in theater.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. That's something he can do. He has all the training and shit for being able to do the fight scenes and the special choreography and whatnot.
Yeah, because that's episode 7, Oil the Musical.
So he's fine.
Because it can't be Grease. That's copyrighted, motherfucker, so it's Oil.
Yeah, and they're also... Look, they're still doing... A lot of them are still somehow hand-in-hand with the school, which is weird. And the Rangers have fallen into this weird,
We can't escape Angel Grove.
No. They're kind of like those weird, sad losers that are still hanging out with high school kids.
Yep.
Kind of like in American Pie, where they ask that question when they're all at the party. They say, do you think that, like, these kids are cool because they're hanging out with college guys? Or we're losers because we're hanging out at a high school party?
Mm-hmm.
And they literally ask that question while they're sitting at the table in the back room.
Yep.
And it's a legitimate question because here, there were some weird moments where I seen that they're like, they're still just hanging around the youth center. And I guess the youth center is kind of like our Riverplex, so it's fine.
They're still at the juice bar.
Yeah, but like, I guess they could...
Yes and no, because technically the juice bar is now under new management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. The actor had a heart attack. Yeah. It was a stroke or a heart attack, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But he did. He passed away. And so they had to replace him, and they had Lieutenant Stone. Weird.
Who's being
but you know what?
From the police force anyway.
I think that if you want to get technical, he's probably fired because he lost two officers.
Yep.
Yeah, the two
officers.
Because they can't find them.
They never came back. They're like missing persons. He left them at the power plant. They're gone.
Don't think
those were
found
his
were
men.
The clothes. That's probably all they found.
Yep. So they were his men. They found clothes and they found evidence of a struggle.
Because
there was probably some damages and dents because they were fighting monsters over there.
Yep.
So you got evidence of a struggle. The men are gone. Their clothes are left behind. Nobody knows where they are. Those were your men. You're fired.
Yep.
That might have been why he had to look for a job quickly, and Ernie was like, and he probably just did nothing more than go to the juice bar. He was probably sitting there thinking, you know, this is where Bulk and Skull hang out.
Maybe
and he was like, he's like, please just come in the door because I'm in trouble. And maybe Ernie got to talking to him, like, what's going on, man? He's like, man, these kids, they disappeared. I'm starting to worry, like, maybe this isn't just one of their normal routines, because I can't find them. And then maybe he was like, well, hey, man,
I'm closing up the shop, because I can't
keep this place afloat. Yeah, he's like, this place isn't going to be here for them to come back to. And that probably led to a whole, like, wait, why? Well, I got to go, and this and that, and blah, blah. And he said, don't close this place. He's like, look, I'm looking for a job. I swear to you, I can do this. And maybe Ernie, because the kind of guy he is, he was like, I don't know, man. You're talking about my business. He's like, I swear I can make this work. And maybe they came to an understanding. They shook hands and he said, okay, if you can keep this place going. And maybe that's how we get away with the excuse that the Rangers are still always there, because they were volunteers for years at that place. Maybe he said, look, these kids will help you.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they're still there, and maybe that's why Stone treats them the way he does.
Some of them do help test out, taste some of the new stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, they help test some of the shit, plus all the plays and everything Adam's
My guess is they're still working.
So, yeah.
They don't work there. They volunteer their time there. And I think that they're helping him out, and I think that's the reason they're still there.
Plus, so, they still kind of use it as a bit of a, quote, training ground.
So we've done four people.
The only thing left is the kid.
The kid's job is that he was so smart, and he got the blue. He was so smart, they skipped him ahead in grades.
He's going to high school.
Yeah,
he's going to high school.
They jumped him
Do
from
they
like,
say
what,
where?
Seventh grade up to, I think it's like sophomore or junior year.
It's something like, because I don't think he's a freshman.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, he's not a freshman. They basically, they jumped him from 7 up to 9 or 10 at that point, I do believe.
So he skipped grades, he's super smart.
Or no, not 9 or 10,
he's not
me, 10 or 11.
He's not super smart like Billy, but he just hasn't had the time. He's a young kid. He's a young, very smart kid for his age, but he's not... This is a weird thing because Billy is easily like the smartest person on our planet.
Yep.
And he didn't skip no grades.
He graduated really early.
Graduated really early.
But at the same time, as we stated, Billy is the one doing these suits. Billy's color's been blue. More than likely, he stayed in blue while testing out the suits more than any of the others. And since memories are transferred from ranger to ranger...
No, that's fine. And
it's
a
possibility that IQ jumped as well.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe this kid wasn't even that smart. We've argued this a lot. Maybe the fact that Billy wore that blue suit for so long... Obviously, like I said, Rocky got those weird episodes where all of a sudden he was smarter than he used to be.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Wasn't very often.
Yeah.
Especially considering the fact that if he gained Billy's IQ, he would have known,
well, I
oh,
don't
wait,
think
this bitch is blind, she can
no.
hear me.
See, that's just it, though. we're talking that memories and sometimes skill sets are transferred, but it's probably different from each person to person. Because
right.
some people, like Billy, he didn't get any smarter, necessarily. Or he might have. I don't know, because all of a sudden he was making flying cars and shit.
No.
So he might have gotten alien intelligence, and his brain could process it, because he was
right.
already a genius, because he also developed his fighting skills ridiculously.
Yeah.
He became a world-class martial artist overnight.
Yeah, he literally went from episode one of ducking and rolling out of the way, and hold on, guys, let me put up my glasses to... Oh, fuck, putties. Throw a punch, throw a kick. Okay, I'm out.
So, yes, this is a weird thing, but maybe that kid, maybe he wasn't actually that smart. Maybe inheriting the blue power, maybe that's why he skipped grades. Because even he seemed like when the guy walked up and he was like, hey, you're a sophomore. And he was kind of like, what? And the other Rangers were like, congratulations, man, we're so fucking goody-goody. But, like, even he was kind of like, wait, are you sure that's right?
Yeah.
Because he even does that test when he's like, do, and he got through it real quick, and he was just like, here. And then she was like, are you sure? And he's like, I'm pretty sure it's right.
Yeah, the teacher's like, what's wrong? You need to go to the bathroom? He goes, no, I'm done. Okay, that was real quick. You sure you don't want to double-check your answers? If you want me to double-check them, I can, but I'm almost certain these are correct. Okay, and the next thing like, the teacher's like, by the way, here's your super genius fucking Mensa card.
Being a child, he probably does not realize that the augments even changed him.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't know that he's smarter, faster, stronger. He probably has a general idea, but there's an episode later where some bullies are beating on him.
Oh, the creepy bullies.
And he almost morphs.
Not only that, but at some point it looked like he wanted to stab them with that morphing key.
If he would have used that key and morphed, he would have killed them. But truth be told, I don't think he realizes that if he's already kicking monsters, he could have ended both those dudes. Were big bullies, and if he would have thrown one leg sweep, he'd have taken them both down like jokes.
You know, the weird part of that episode, as far as like the DVDs and stuff, probably not the DVDs, I think it was like the listing on YouTube or whatever, but the image itself shows the kid with the long black hair, like up in his cheek, up in Justin's cheek, like this is like, that is super creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are looking like a pedophile.
So we've done all of that now, right? We've covered our main points we need to for all this intro.
Shit, we've covered more going into some of the other episodes.
And we're,
like I said,
and we're over an hour in, and we're just covered the first.
Yeah, let me see here. We've covered the first three, other than, again, Question, Bitch, and Jersey okay, Alpha.
So let's just go through and see if something happens. So we're done with the... We talked about how she had to get the things. We talked about the Zords. We talked about their jobs. That's all kinds of stuff that led into the first thing. So now we're on Shadow Rangers.
Yep.
Quick thing just to say, I kind of liked this. It was a little stupid that they died to a shadow.
It was another interesting case of them trying to make copy Rangers.
Right. But I did like the idea that we got an interesting... Look, I've been comparing this to Lanterns for a long time. Lanterns' powers are from the emotional spectrum that is then devised of light. And yep. It's interesting that this guy stole the light from the Rangers and made solid light construct copies.
Yep.
Even though they're called Shadow Rangers.
Yes. Because once they hit the shadow, they lose their consistency because yeah. They're built from light.
Yeah.
They're hard light constructs.
Yeah, they're considered, quote, shadows because anything, quote, negative is evil.
Yeah.
Black is, if you look at any major play or studio production or anything, white is always considered life, black is always considered death. That's why good guys wear white and bad guys wear black.
And
it's bullshit.
I think Tommy's Red Ranger was the only one that didn't get made.
Yeah, yes. he was able to avoid it.
He was the only one smart enough to not morph, which is how the guy was stealing the power. Yeah.
But I did like this. I thought this was, you know, I was impressed by this episode because it was new, and it showed us that without a doubt, I've been talking about this for a long time. The Rangers' powers are mystical, mm-hmm. but they're using a technological catalyst, and since the monsters were able to piggyback on that technological catalyst, they stole the powers, basically.
Yep.
That was pretty interesting. That was good. I don't like all the detonator crap that came with it, because that gets really stupid and really old really fast.
Every episode.
Yes. Yeah. But for the main idea, that was pretty cool. And it wasn't her idea. This is what I was talking about, too. She's hiring monsters. She didn't. Yeah. All that she said was, "Just make sure they don't find that detonator." My idea is to blow stuff up.
You're
whatever yeah. you do, you do what you do, and then she will often be surprised when she sees them do certain things. She'll be like, "That right there was clever,"
yeah.
and that's because she is not really in the kind of control that we've seen with the other bad guys.
Yeah.
She's new.
Yeah, we'll even get to that one in episode 14.
We are on Transmission Impossible. Nothing?
Is that number 5? Because for that
yes.
one I have Divatox Wins, The News from the Future.
That's no, the that can't
title.
Be right. Episode 5, that is way too early. I think that's down towards like 13. Because that's the Millennium Message.
No, wait, there's another guy that shows up.
Yeah, there's two dudes that show up. There's
an earlier guy that
shows
up.
Oh, that's the other guy.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Hold on.
Yeah, because number 13 is the fucking
We
the
messed
cop
something
guy.
Up. Let's bring this up.
Oh, the Zordon leaving.
Zordon was just gonna leave.
God damn it, that's what I've been saying for the last hour and a half.
I know.
Zordon says peace and Jersey Alpha shows
but
up.
But he was just gonna leave. It was a big secret. Yeah. Rangers came in and saw the vortex thing, and he was like, pay no attention to that. And they were like, what is, don't worry about it. I'm
don't
tired.
Don't make me lock you in the basement.
I'm tired of your shit. Like, he was just gonna leave. I mean, sure, he'd arranged, quote unquote, to have somebody else come and take care of it, but he wasn't telling them. He was literally waiting till the last minute to be like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm out, bitches.
Of course, Alpha probably wanted to tell him and stuff. But...
Right. Well, even...
Alpha kept trying
yeah.
to, and then all yeah. of a sudden fucking, what's his name from the movie?
The little
Muppet guy shows up.
Right.
And they're like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, Rangers, by the way, I'm going home. Alpha and him are coming with me. The replacement will be here soon enough. Bye!
By the way, the vortex is an interdimensional vortex.
Uh-huh.
I am interdimensional.
Now look, show. We've discussed this multiple times. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yep.
Insert Princess Bride.
Because
yeah.
if it is an interdimensional portal, but it goes to Eltar, doesn't that mean it takes us to a Eltar in a different dimension?
Yeah, we're no longer in the 616, now we're in the 825.
Right! He is going to go through this vortex and hop dimensions back home. So, my guess is correct, if we have to retcon this properly, finally, some spatial anomaly that allowed him to travel here has reopened after 60,000 years.
Yeah, since the time of the dinosaurs.
Because he came here nearly 10,000. He came here earlier than 10,000 years ago because he fought Rita and locked her away.
Yep.
So a little, maybe 15,000 years ago, he traveled here through an interdimensional vortex.
And back then he probably had a body, but...
And back then he had a body.
Yep.
Then, that's why he calls himself an interdimensional being, because he was hopping dimensions and probably fighting evil in different dimensional landscapes. When he finally lost to somebody and ended up stuck in that tube, then he wants to go home, but he can't because he doesn't have the same options he used to. Now this vortex opens up after 15,000 years, and he's like, oh, that's our chance to finally go home. Once we do this, we'll never be able to talk to the Rangers again because dimensionally, I don't know when the next possibility for us coming back here really is.
Meanwhile, Divatox is like, oh, that goes there? Nah, fuck on that.
And the only reason she was going to do that, look, if I'm Divatox, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'd have seen that vortex and somebody had said, Zordon's going to use that to leave. Is he really? Yeah, he's going to GTFO. So he's going to go through that. And then he's not going to be here to help them, right? Right. All right, where's my recliner chair? Let it happen.
Yeah.
Let him go! Why would you want to keep him here?
Well, except for maybe trapping him in it.
Technically speaking, at that point, why the fuck is she staying here? She knows there's Rangers here. Go to another universe where the Rangers have been beaten.
I think that now it's become a, like, I gotta do this.
Right.
I think it's more like, I gotta do this now. Like,
I had to find a way to beat them.
They fucked up my plan.
They screwed, screwed her. And even though she doesn't have the experience or the business to be here dealing with this, she's out of her league.
Right.
These are Rangers that are experienced. Their Zord is broke as shit.
Yep.
I'm telling you, that thing is broken. It had one fight in 15 episodes. One fight. That's it. Everything else it fought, it'd be like punch,
laser beam,
sword, or yeah, it'd be like punch, weird wiki kick, and then the guy would fall down. Then it'd be like chest beam. Then it'd be like, all right, this broke ass spinning death move of destruction.
Yep.
That move is broken. Like, and it just walks through everything. It fought one guy.
Yep.
The whole 15 episodes, it's had one fight.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is the brokest Zord we have ever seen.
Oh, and I think it's at the fight at the end of episode 3. I think it's this one. Isn't that like the first time that they show us that, like, not only does the car like pull out to be the other weapons, but it can be used as a cannon?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think this is the one that Jeremy would be most interested in, because when it goes to the Sentai footage, you get to see weird brown Yoda.
He was there?
He was in one of these fights. I don't remember which episode it is, but in one of these fights, weird brown Yoda, you can clearly see for like a full 5 seconds in the background.
Okay. You got to see him? Man, no way!
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're all flipping and shit, and then they do this thing where they like try to surround him to protect him, but they put that footage in there on purpose to be like, you saw nothing. There was no weird brown Yoda guy.
Dude,
there.
It slipped. They slipped it by me. I didn't see him.
That was the number one thing I noticed. And mind you, I'm playing Minecraft.
Dude!
I'm watching.
I can't believe that.
Put the DVD in.
I missed that shit.
Motherfucker, I will find it on Netflix. You give me a fucking
hot minute. Dude, that just blew my fucking mind. If that's in there, that is crazy cool. Okay, we're going to come back to that when you find it. We already did Transmission Impossible, Rally Ranger.
Oh, that's the boxcar thing, I think.
Oh, yeah. The Rally Ranger is that six, that soapbox derby.
Yeah. Oh, the transmission thing. Wasn't that the question lady's friend showing up telling her that she has a sister?
Oh, yeah. I guess we kind of skipped that because we talked about Zordon leaving. Zordon is replaced. Man, I miss Alpha.
Yo.
We miss our old Alpha.
Dude, I miss him so much. I need my eyes back because I cannot stand Jersey Alpha. I can't stand Jersey Alpha. He's so dumb.
The sad thing is Jersey Alpha will actually give you straight answers more than this new chick.
Dude, the new chick, if we had to find a way to retcon her, because we have to explain her in a way that her society actually works, because a society that's incapable of doing anything but asking questions cannot possibly advance. They could not have advanced. It's not possible when they have no answers because they're physically incapable of producing them. They can only produce questions. There's no way that society can move forward. But I would argue this. What if she's not actually asking questions? What if her society has moved to a point where every single one of them is in a philosophical renaissance?
What if they're all really just playing Jeopardy?
I think their entire race is in a philosophical renaissance. I think that they refuse to give straight answers because they want you to advance. They want you to learn and question and grow as a person. So sometimes she'll have the answer, but she won't tell them straight out. She'll be like, "Do you really believe that?" or whatever. Or she'll be like, "What is it exactly that you're truly looking for?" She'll quip them. She doesn't actually give them real answers. See what I'm getting at? But she has the answers half the time.
Right.
She's also played by... we didn't mention this, but just for good measure.
It's the same woman who's playing Divatox in this early part of the season.
Yes, the first 25 episodes is a different woman. The movie was one woman, then another woman for the first 25 episodes of the series, who also plays the question lady.
Yep.
It's her
Demetra.
Name. Demetra?
Demetra?
Demetria. Demetria.
Yes.
Okay.
Then, for the last 25 episodes, the girl from the movie came back. From what I understand, the girl from the movie had gotten pregnant. And that costume was not going to be okay for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
For what it's worth, they found an actress that was pretty believable as the same person. Like, there are times that I kind of feel like there's no difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same lady. It's not.
So far, I'm on episode 5, so if you're going to look with me, look around episode 6, and like I said, it'd be about mid to near the end of the show if you're looking.
So anyways, we did get her. I hate Jersey Alpha. And I also am surprised that Jersey Alpha is allowed to drop lines. Like, have you noticed when he talks to Kat, he calls her Toots?
Yep.
Toots.
That is strange to me that that was all right. I guess it's harmful. It's harmless, but like, it's strange to me. And I also think that in this stupid episode with the Rally Ranger, that bomb blew up, and it wasn't even strong enough to burn a made-from-plywood racer.
It, like, altered a wheel.
Yeah. How terrible. She's going to destroy Angel Grove like that. Oh, by the way, also in this series, in these 15 episodes, I can't remember where it happens, but we learned that Angel Grove has a mountain range because they talk about the cliffs of Angel Grove.
It's episode 7, Built for Speed, which, again, is Oil the Musical.
Oh, my God. 7, yes. Oh, my God, with the 1950s. Freaking, why?
Now me, I'm a fan of Grease.
Okay,
I know,
understandable.
The Grease stuff, and yeah, even Grease 2, that not that many people really.
I'm going to give this to you. I think that that's fun.
But when I saw this starting I'm like,
well, here's the thing. In fact, he's got it playing over here on the TV. But here's the thing. When this starts out and they're doing a show, it's fun. It's harmless fun 1950s satire.
But with the whole drag racing to the now, edge of a cliff.
Now, here's my problem. When the show ends, when we go back to them actually being teenagers, they actually had 1950s cars.
Yep, yep.
And they actually had 1950s mentality.
Yep.
These are hardcore young method actors.
Yeah.
Like, they literally saw themselves... They believed themselves to be in the 1950s or something. Like, this episode is almost impossible to take seriously. This was dumb as hell. So bad. And I'm also confused at something else. When they fight this monster...
Well, monster.
Yeah. When they fight this monster, they race him. You know, if he has a bomb... Why do you race around in your little speedy go-kart mobile and race him? Like, I don't understand it. Like, why not just shoot him? I don't understand what... They're literally, like, playing a game with him because they challenge him to races and fly all over and they're driving everywhere and, like, there's no point to it because he himself... I don't... This episode is dumb. It's full of dumb. And now I'm looking at it because it's on the screen. I see a stupid freaking eyeball thing. And oh, my God.
Yeah, because this
episode is dumb.
Inside of the sub, yeah.
Dude, this episode is filled with dumb. We are on...
Birthday suck.
Oh, my God. Bicycles. Bicycle built for the blues.
Yeah, Justin's birthday.
Justin gets cursed to ride a bicycle indefinitely, and it's connected to a detonator, because the only thing she knows how to do is put detonators places and hope they blow up.
Yep.
And the only thing it took to get him off the bike was a tackle.
Yep.
And you're talking about Rangers that it's already been proven to us that when morphed, they can run the speed of an automobile. Happened in the movie. Why didn't they just run in front and kick out his fucking spokes? He's an augmented human. He'll be fine.
He's going to ride his bike into the lake. Oh, wait. I can ride on the water.
Oh, my God. Dumb.
Yeah.
Yes, this is why this series gets the credit it does for being so bad, is because some of these episodes are just... That you can't even stomach
Tokyo.
Them.
By the way, Angel Grove. I'm already on episode 10, and so far, no go.
Straight up awful. 11. So we're on 9. The whole lie.
No, not yet.
Oh, when Justin lies and there's a monster
My
forces
alternate
people
title
to lie.
For this one is The Pen is Royal Blue.
In this episode, he's cursed to lie, and every time he lies, it forms monster men, piranatrons.
Which, by the way, they beat the lie by using the exact same way you're supposed to be a AI robot.
Yeah.
Give it a logic loop.
So look, these are dumb episodes. But I'm gonna say, for the first time ever, there's a legitimate reason that they're dumb. In terms of the storyline,
Divatox is learning.
She can get away with doing really dumb things that she's like, hey, this might work, and then she does it. When Rita does it, or Zed, when Zed, like, looks down on the Rangers and he's like, oh, so they like, you know, they think bees are fascinating. Well, I got a bee or whatever. Or, you want to ride bicycles, huh?
I'll send down Stinger.
Yeah, you're like, you want to ride bicycles? Well, I got a bike for you. Like, that stuff is dumb for them.
Yeah.
For her, it wasn't exactly a terrible idea to think that if you could have got this stupid kid on that bike and forced him to ride until he exploded.
Wait, a bike. Seth. Masked Rider. Bike.
No. No, because that bike is at least slightly cool only because it's voiced by Skull.
No. The one controlled by the monster.
Oh.
That's following Dex. Okay.
Now, the whole lie is what we just talked about, and it's dumb. So let's talk about Glyphanger.
You mean Emoji the movie? Or Emoji the episode? Because, again, you're a fan of Kevin Smith. Yeah, my daughter always texts me. I got to learn how to read Egyptian. Read them emojis.
Oh,
yeah.
Glyphanger was the
Egyptian guy. Yeah,
one of the. This is
Tox's ex-fiance.
This is one of the best episodes in the entire thing so far.
Yep,
dude. It doesn't. It seems throwaway, but it's not. This episode is actually really cool. For one, it gave us backstory on her, and it also more gave us credibility that she really is new. She has an ex-husband that left her at the altar, that screwed her, and he owes her a favor. Now, she hires monsters.
Or finds them somehow.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, well, he still owes me one. So she gets a hold of this guy, and she's like, all right, listen, we'll cut our losses and we'll be done with all this crap. You don't owe me nothing. We never have to talk again. If you can handle this. And he says, no, whoa, 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 wait a second. You're dealing with who? And she's like, oh, well, there's these stupid Power Ranger things. And he knows them.
Yeah.
Unlike her, he's like, are you the Power Rangers?
Are you out of your fucking mind, the Rangers?
He's like you're not going to beat them. He's like, you realize that they're like high class.
The Rangers?
Yeah. He's like very blatantly like, are you kidding me here? And he knows that the Rangers are there. At first, he avoided confrontation with them. And the reason I know is because as a monster, when he first went down there and he put the detonator down and he heard people were coming, he could have just been like, turned around and seen them and be like, and they'd have ran away because they're people. But he knew, because he's not an idiot.
Because he knew that they were teenagers and he's by a high school, so he's like...
So he was like, if one of these guys walking in the room is the Rangers, all my job is to put this thing here and leave. If I can do that, I can be done here.
Instead, he
accidentally
leaves.
He got screwed because they take his staff. He can't fight about it, because if he would have moved, they'd have noticed him. And he already knows, because he's not an idiot, and he knows what the Rangers are. He's like, I will get killed. And I'm not about getting killed. Not really my favorite idea.
Although he got his ass kicked by a kid because he didn't have his... staff.
Now that right there is, once he lost his staff, he was like, shit. And he went back to her and he was still willing to cut his losses and be like, oh yeah, I'm basically powerless and a joke now. And I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. And she was like, no, you're going to go back down there. And he's like, this is bull. He's like, you don't know what you're dealing with. He's like, they're dangerous in a way that you don't understand. So he gets sent back down there. Kids even beat him up. He does need that staff.
Yep.
And he's not oblivious to the fact that he's a joke without it. So, she even realizes at this point, if my shit is going to succeed, he has to be able to succeed.
Send the
I got to go get the damn thing back. So she does him a solid and gets his staff back. And then he gets forced into a confrontation. Now, during this confrontation, he starts winning. And then the ego comes out, and he realizes... you know, this is doable. If I can do this, if I could beat them, I'd be bigger than Lord Zed. I'd be bigger than Rita. I'd be bigger than the Machine Empire. I would be huge. My legacy would span forever. I'd be amazing. I took out the Rangers. I'm the big shit. And I'm right here, and I'm doing it, and I'm halfway to the goal already. You know what? I'm going for it. And then those missiles hit him. And he got all big. And that was probably the first time it's ever happened for him. Who knows?
Yeah.
And he was like, holy shit. I got the power. And he was almost overwhelmed. Because you know they get stronger when they get bigger.
Yeah.
Some of them even change forms.
Oh, yeah.
So he's all of a sudden got all this power that he's never had. And his ego got to him a bit.
And then he lost his...
But well deserved. For the first time... 15 episodes, this is the only one that had it, that Zord had to fight.
Yeah.
It appears, he punches it around, throws it, kicks it, takes hits himself, does fireballs and like fire breath, and actually backs it into a corner, throws it into a building. It was a legitimate fight. They were like, oh shit, this dude ain't a joke. He's the real shit. And then they start realizing, well, his power is coming from the staff.
So let's get rid of the staff.
Let's get rid of the staff, which comes down to the fact that this Zord is streamlined. It does what it needs to do. It's super broken, super fast, super agile, because it can move. Billy has also been around for the big Zords that serve one purpose. Shoot a lot of guns or do a real good attack and hope the guy doesn't move out of the way. He knows that your Zord needs to be agile yet powerful. It's streamlined. It's everything it ever needed to be. Now, this Zord fights the Egyptian, and they actually even had to it was a good fight. They get stuck against the building. They get hit with a flamethrower. They get knocked down. Finally, they take out the shield. They walk towards him. They block him. They kind of get into a quip battle with him for a second. He punches. And finally, they get an opening, and they shatter that staff. And he's like, oh, no, I'm a bitch. And then it's death time. As soon as they got rid of that staff, they were like, kick! And he fell down. And then he got back up, and they were like, he's dead now. And they shifted it into gear and did that spin, man, and just went right through him and killed him. That's what I mean. This sword is broken. It is so broken, but this is the only fight they actually had. 11 is wait and see.
Oh, when the cat wanting to lose weight because she thinks she's...
fat-shaming dancers.
Yeah.
This episode does not work for Cat.
No.
You can't fat shame Cat.
Exactly. By the way, hand me disc one because I'm tired of Netflix being slow since there's no internet.
Would have made better sense if we would have had, like, I don't know, Bulk. If he wouldn't have been a fucking monkey, you could have actually done a fat shaming episode. And it would have made more sense for him.
No, if Skulk and Bulk switch bodies and...
something, you could have done it with Bulk. Bulk is a big guy, and you could have commented on that, and you could have done fat shaming, and the other guys could have come around and been legitimate, decent human beings and been like, don't let that shit get to you. No. You're just as good a person as... They could have played with it. They could have done something real. Not take the girl that's very obviously never had to deal with fat issues in her entire fucking life and call her fat. That didn't teach anybody anywhere any lessons ever. It's not legitimate. I know what they're trying to do. They used the wrong actress to do it.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's just a joke and it's stupid. And also, she got a part in ballet. She's trying to break into acting and whatnot. She wants to do dancing, acting, performances. Yeah. But she's got a legitimate job on the side because she's trying to be a productive adult. Kind of like you have to have a real job, but you still do your theater stuff when you do it. You have to have your real shit to back up what you want to do someday, maybe. Kind of like we do this. Who knows? In the small context of one day, someday, somehow somebody finds us, and it just happens to be the right guy that says, check these guys out. You never know. You never know. It's ridiculous, but there are guys that have become YouTube sensations that have made millions of dollars that the only reason they make money... Hell, Rich of Review Tech USA does this as a job, and the reason he does it is because one day, years ago, one guy saw his show and featured it. That's all that happened. His show wasn't anything big. He did what you did. He would say, hey, a news article came out about video gaming. This is my thoughts on it. Done. And he would post these 10-minute episodes. One day, the right person of 650,000 members saw his video, featured it on his own channel, and he blew up overnight.
An actual person, not a bot thing.
Yeah, so like, it does happen, but you gotta be intelligent enough to know you can't throw away your job and bet everything, and she's doing that.
Yep.
So that works for wait and see, but the actual fat-shaming part is just dumb, and that monster is also dumb.
Oh, the mathematical monster thing.
Alarmed and dangerous.
Oh, yeah, the false alarms, which is where the bullies come into play with the whole Justin could have killed them. And we get our Dolph Lundgren Zord.
That's the only important part, to be fair. Dolph Lundgren Zord was featured.
There's also another important part. Once again, people in television don't know how to edit to get the timer fucking right. They show the timer. It says 8 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
If you count 8 fucking seconds,
yes.
It should, the bomb should have
long
gone off
since dead.
6 fucking seconds before
yes.
It goes off. But they can't edit worth a fuck.
No shit, I saw that. I was even there like, shouldn't that thing have already blown up?
Yeah. I do it anytime there's a timer. Anytime. I don't care if it's a movie, TV show, what. They show the timer. 10, 9, 8. They cut back to the action. I'm still 7, 6, 5. They go to another scene. 4, 3, 2. They go to another scene. 1. Boom. Boom. Where's the boom? Where's the boom? Now they go back to the timer. 5 seconds. Bullshit!
Bullshit!
Learn to count, bitch!
No, they're running off
first
freeze
grade,
of time.
Motherfucker. First, sometimes kindergarten.
Let's, 13 is the Millennium Message.
Oh, this is where this,
this is,
what's his name? The
cop from Planet
Blue Centurion.
Bacon.
Blue Centurion, yeah.
Oh, and, you know what he is?
What he should have been or what he is?
He's a manhunter.
Yep.
Oh, I thought he was going to say he should have been Billy.
He's strangely another he's strangely another Green Lantern idea.
Yep.
He's a manhunter. He's a robot police officer built by somebody, some intergalactic force of who knows what, could very well be the Guardians, we don't know, could very well be a Green Lantern knockoff Guardian society that said, hey, we need to do this, and...
He
everybody,
does carry a message from the future, so...
And hundreds of people know, thousands of people know who he is. Even some of the Rangers knew because they talked with Zordon. I don't know when Zordon ever gave us real information we didn't ask for or need after we needed it. But even he said, oh, that's a so-and-so Blue Centurion cop or whatever. They're like the greatest cops in the galaxy. They're a force of AI, robotic officers... that enforce the law across the galaxy. And even the other bad guys, that's one thing Divatox did know. When he showed up, she was like, oh, shit. It's one of those things. She had a vague understanding of what that guy was and how much trouble he could be.
Wait.
And even her scientist was like, she was like, well, we have it. Why don't we just reprogram it? And he's like, because you can't.
Wait, I thought originally Divatox was out enjoying a time on the beach when he crash-landed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she came around and saw it there. He's like, oh, you stupid piece of garbage.
Yeah.
She didn't look at him like, oh, shit.
She only had a vague understanding. It was only after she got it back to her sub when she was talking with her guys, and they were like, this dude's a problem. They were like, he's a legitimate problem.
I have a message from the future.
Yeah, and then...
So technically, I got that flip-flop, but still.
Well, she plays an interesting game, too. You see, there's a reason she wasn't too worried when she seen the thing. Because when he turned on, and he started talking about... He has a message...
And he pulled his R2-D2?
He has a message for Demetria. Well, you see, one thing the show doesn't talk to us too much about, but it has given us slight clues throughout the time that we've been watching...
That they're related... Their sister.
Dimitri is her sister. There's an awful lot of evidence to support this, including the way she talks about her family. And when this happens, she all of a sudden breaks out a voice that we haven't heard. And it's not just a Dimitri impression. I think that might be the way their species actually kind of sounds.
Yep.
Because she was able to do that without effort. It wasn't like she was impersonating. All of a sudden, she was just like, oh yeah, I'm Demetria. And since they look exactly the same, and they're the same species...
And all she has to do is adjust her voice a little.
Yep, and all she had to do was somehow adjust her voice. It didn't seem like an impression. It almost seemed like, well, this is the way we talk. I just hate them. And I've been off planet for so long that I've gotten rid of that crap. But I can still go back to it. It's like having an Australian accent living here for so long that you pick up on the more American tones. Sooner or later, however, if you ever had to go back, you could do it.
But the message itself the holographic message showed, like, Zed, Rita, and I think Mondo.
Yep.
Master Vile, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also revealed that there's only one force that can stop all evil. And,
they don't show us what it is.
But she sees it.
She sees it.
And later on, it gets somehow fried to that part.
Yeah. Convenient.
Yeah.
But they know that this guy's powerful and dangerous. And that they also know her team is like, you know, he could very well destroy the Rangers. Like, he's that kind of powerful. Why don't we reprogram it? And they're like, because we can't. Because it's a fucking Manhunter. We can't. And he says, well, what if instead of that...
Why don't we just tell him that the Power Rangers are the bad guys instead?
Yeah, what if we just apply a different directive? We can't change his initial programming, but maybe we can modify his understanding of where he is. So they do that. And they also put a bomb in him because they're dicks. So here was the idea, and this is actually a good idea. You send the scary cop Manhunter to fight the enemies that you can't beat. And whether he wins or not, if they fight him long enough, he blows up in their face!
Except he didn't get destroyed in the explosion.
It's true. Confusingly.
Yeah.
Because he blew up, but
he went around the corner, and explosion.
At least it looked like it, but then evidently he didn't blow up because the bomb was still in there and they defused it. So I don't know what that explosion was.
Unless he shot one of the bad guys and it exploded. So.
I guess he could. His gun is broken, by the way. His gun is broken. It's way stronger than the gun that we got. And he's physically stronger than the Rangers. Tommy tries a real super punch. And he catches it like, pang, and then takes him to his knees. Woo! Just kind of pushes his hand back, and he's like, oh, crap, and starts crushing his fist. This robot is stronger than our Rangers. Physically.
And he does overall become a useful ally for him.
Yes. He has a Zord, which is independent and powerful. He has that gun, which that gun is broken. He's physically stronger than us. And he's programmed with martial arts defense. Because later on he'll access fighting protocols and actually be able to fight doing kicks and grabs and shit.
Yeah.
So he's an interesting piece of technology that is an awful lot like a Manhunter. And I actually enjoyed what little time I've had with him so far. I remember back when I was younger and also the last time I watched this, I was like, oh, it's him. But this time, now that I'm analyzing it and I'm watching it real close, it feels legitimately different. It's interesting.
He's the one that opens up the portal to allow Zordon to travel.
Okay, we are on...
You sure? Because it's part of the Sentai footage shit.
Oh, we're on 14, A Drive to Win.
Oh, this is where we get introduced to two of the newer
Yeah, meet the
Rangers.
New guys.
Carlos and Ashley. Carlos the soccer player, Ashley the cheerleader.
We're not going to dwell on this too much, except for to say we're introduced to two of our new replacement Rangers.
Yep. No, that's Larigo. I'm talking about now, the legit brown Yoda, the one from the Sentai.
Now, we have...
That
okay.
one that you looked at the thing and you're like, why the fuck is this dude standing here?
Okay.
He's in that. Okay.
Here's the thing. Our first guy, Carlos, he's a headstrong...
Egotistical.
Yes, egotistical.
He's about me, myself, and I on this team.
He's a showboat guy. He's very much a showboat guy. He likes to steal the show.
Sounds
and he has
familiar.
And he has a high ego of himself. And actually, in a way, this is interesting because it still kind of plays to this thing that we've been talking about for a long time. Remember Zach?
Yeah, Zach was a showboat.
He was kind of a showboat artist, and he kind of had that ego thing going on. It was always about dancing and showing off and check me out and look at this. And now we come across this kid who will later become a Black Ranger, not in this series, but the next one.
Yep.
And he's very much a showboat kind of kid. Oh, and by the way, when the showboating doesn't work for him, he gets all pissy and he quits the Rangers. because he accidentally hurts that girl later on. We're jumping way ahead into Space Rangers, but you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try to quit, and then that's when Adam comes back, and they do all that stuff and everything. But, so we got him. The other girl we have, she's one of those perfectionists. She's one of those girls that, like, she's not going to quit until we get it right.
Yep.
Everybody's tired. Everybody's ready for a break. Nobody has the desire to do this anymore. And she's like, come on, guys. We're representing fucking Angel Grove and blah, blah, and this and blah, blah, and that. And it's interesting how we've already got a couple of character flaws. That's kind of nice. I doubt they'll go anywhere. We'll see as we analyze our episodes. But it's interesting that for the first time ever in Rangers, we built some characters. Mm-hmm. This guy's an ego problem. We could play to that. We could make legitimate character conflict from that. And then she's a perfectionist that just won't quit.
Yep.
It's time for a smoke break, damn it.
Damn right it is. We're, what, hour and a half? 145?
145.
We're actually, yes, we're on 15 right now, though.
Oh, traffic jam from hell?
No, the dance off between Lieutenant Stone's niece and Cat.
Oh, you mean Kimberly 2.0?
Yeah.
Cars attack.
Which, one thing I've stated before, that is the wrong title for this episode.
Yeah.
Because it does not have anything to do with cars attacking.
Well, doesn't
except
he
for
throw,
when the monster comes
yeah,
down.
He throws a bunch of cars.
But that's when the monster comes down.
No, because this is the guy who fucking, man, what are we going to do? We don't know nothing.
Oh,
who
this
the
is,
fuck is at the door?
Dude.
Can't you read the snot, don't smoke sign? Hey, I heard you guys are looking for monsters. I'm a monster. I can help. Who the fuck is you?
No soliciting. Can't you read the no smoking sign?
Yeah.
It's
like, oh, by the way, who the fuck is you? Oh, you've never heard of me? All I do is I sit around and wave my fingers like I'm an orchestra conductor.
But this also goes into what
to life.
This
it's
also
like,
goes
oh,
into
fuck.
What I've been saying. She hires her people. And the reason you know that is because evidently word has gotten out that there's some lady that's looking to hire monsters for jobs, because this dude, she's underwater. It's not like she's advertised necessarily, but she must be. Circles are talking about her because he went down there and offered his services. Like, hey, I heard there's work to be done.
Yep.
I'm ready for it.
Of course, it's not exactly
and
a good
and
track
she,
record.
No, she literally, she goes, so you go, we're going to be going up against the Power Rangers. You cool with that? And he goes, yeah. I've never run into anybody who can actually stop me.
Yeah, I'm so great. Yeah.
Meanwhile, sorry, these are the Power Rangers, dude.
So that didn't work out well for him.
Yeah.
Actually, for most of the monsters when they show up.
Yeah, even though he quite literally had a conga line of cars going around the planet.
But. Oh, and by the way, this is the episode where I first seen it and I said, these are Billy's Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Because during that fight, it's this guy that they bring the car out, they take all the weapons off, then they group up and put the weapons together and form a blaster, and I was like, oh my god.
But this isn't the only episode, I think there's like
it's,
a few
it's
others.
It's not. It's not
yeah,
the only one.
There's a few others, but yeah, this
but
is
for
one
some
where
reason,
it's
this
major.
this one was so blatant. For some reason, this is the one that hit me. I was like, it's so weird that there's almost irrefutable Billy evidence in this show that was never meant to have any evidence to Billy. But it's there. It's so strange that it's there. It's fan retconning, but it's there, man. It's so strange. So, did anything else happen in episode 15?
There's the dance-off, fucking Bulk and Skull
oh,
chimps. Fucking
they introduced
money.
That girl
yeah, the,
who
the,
goes
Lieutenant
nowhere.
Stone's, niece who... We think if she gets introduced, maybe she might be something further on, but she's not.
That disappointed me. I'm curious what happened. Like, I'm really curious what happened. Because usually when they go through the trouble to introduce a character, there's a purpose. And this girl was introduced. And it seems like they were equipping her to become a character. Because they already did it with Carlos and Ashley.
In one episode, yeah.
So there we got two guys that are introduced. They become Rangers. We know the future, to be fair.
Right.
And we shouldn't, you know, but we do. It's just, we watch this as kids, we know. But that girl...
When we first see that girl, she looks like the one that becomes the Pink Ranger in space. But it's like, oh wait, no, it doesn't look like her exactly.
Right. Well, here's the weird thing. Adam... met that girl, or met Carlos.
Adam met Carlos and Ashley.
And Adam will pass his power to Carlos. Hmm. Now, who is most associated with Adam? 9 going on 19.
Yep.
And she will pass her powers to Ashley.
Yeah.
So, by the ideas laying down here and the way the stories are structured... I wonder if the contract just didn't pan out or if they found the other girl at the last second, because it seems like this girl is being associated with Kat, which makes me feel like originally, before whatever happened in the background that we never got to see, because there's a whole world of stuff happening that in production and lives and Hollywood and everything that we have no knowledge of. I wonder if that girl was going to be the Pink Ranger. And she was already tied to characters we knew. So they already built a backstory for this girl that they're just going to throw away. But she's misunderstood.
Yep.
She's had a tough life.
Yep.
You know, and here
mommy,
we are. Mommy and daddy suck. Now we have Carlos. He's egotistical. He's going to be tough to deal with. We have Ashley. She's the perfectionist. She's going to be irritating at times. They were building characters.
Yep.
So it sounds to me like this girl was supposed to be the Pink Ranger.
Yep.
But something happened, and they hired the other girl. And the other girl will get no development at all, by the way. The other girl will show up on a bus and become the Pink Ranger that day.
Yep.
Well, same with the guy that becomes the Red Ranger.
If I remember right, those two do show up. Should be on the same episode, if not
they
the
do.
Same.
They show up on a bus. Tommy gets attacked. They become Rangers. It's like in the same freaking day, and it's a disappointing that like we're setting Carlos up. We're setting Ashley up. If this girl would have became the Pink Ranger, we're setting her up. But we don't go with her. We go on girl that randomly came off of the bus and has no business being a Ranger whatsoever. And wasn't even going to stick around until Deus Ex Machina plot device.
Yep.
But we'll get there. We are done. These episodes are a lot longer than our normal episodes because...
That's series... why I haven't noticed anything like bags opening and shit like that. I've been sitting around eating beef jerky.
Series conversations take a lot more because we go into a lot more theoreticals instead of look at that picture.
I was going to say, for me, with these episodes, it seemed like the Saban's Masked Rider, it seems like only a few are important ones.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Only
easily.
A few.
There's
not as much as normally with the Power Rangers series.
I will say that for going back through this series, damn it.
Bill broke your shit.
There.
It's already broke.
For going back through this series, believe it or not, for part one, the first 15 episodes, there are things I was able to pull from it and discuss, which make me appreciate this series way more than I used to, as long as I ignore one major story flaw.
Pipe bombs are important.
That gets irritating, but believe it or not, if he's your favorite character, I apologize. Justin shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Look, guys, it's not even... I don't like the child superhero thing, so let's put that out there and then let's move past it, because, look, I'm able to escape my own bias. I could say, I don't like this, but I'll deal with it, and I'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Justin as a character is just fine. He's fine. He's learning, he's developing, it's interesting, he's kind of the outside character that's watching heroes and idolizing people. But here's the thing. This is a genuine problem when we analyze this in a real-world aspect, which this show was never meant to hold up to that kind of scrutiny that we give it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, Zordon would have been a very different character. But look.
Zordon would be in an intergalactic jail at this point.
Let's be honest here with one major problem that is inescapable. There are four, not teenagers, there are four adults.
Yep.
With jobs and lives, bills, insurance, and adult problems.
Like money for food.
And they hang out daily with an 11-year-old orphan. How old is he? 13? Maybe?
I would guess about 10.
No.
There are times I feel like he's 10, but I think they're supposed to be playing... It's been a long time since I was that young, so I can't exactly say that I see it. But
I'm going to say 11 or 12.
I think he's supposed to be 11, 12, or 13. Somewhere in that area. And even if we do that, there are four full-grown adults with jobs, responsibilities, insurance, real adulting crap.
He's trying to be adult with the responsibilities because he's also looking after Chimp, Bulk, and Skull.
Yeah, those...
Technically, Chimp, Bulk, and Skull look after themselves.
Yeah, and he just, for some reason, monkeys showed up, and instead of calling the authorities, he just kept them, which says something strange about Stone in general, too. He's like, dude, I've never had no monkey.
Well, considering the fact that he probably has a slight form of, like, PTSD because, you know, my officers...
That's true, too.
And
yeah,
you remind me of him.
And he's kind of... Now, we're not allowed to get that deep because it's a Power Rangers show, but right. In a way, I wonder if you stumbled upon something that makes sense.
We're not allowed to get that deep because it's a Power Rangers show, but we still have Pervy Zordon looking at people's shout.
They aren't allowed to actually showcase real stories.
Fair enough.
Now, we can dig in and we can come up with explanations and fan retcon, and that's kind of what we do. But in a weird way, you might have stumbled on something. He lost two officers.
Yep.
He can't find them. He might have a strange kind of fixation that this is like, in his own strange psychological way, he's making up for it. He can't find them. They're somehow reminiscent. He's taking care of them.
It's like they never left.
Because he should, when monkeys showed up...
He needed to call animal control.
He was supposed to call animal control. Instead, he just like... clothed them and brought them into the juice bar and made them strange tag-along pets. But you need a special...
Even constantly running around the city stealing shit.
He's supposed to have a special license to have a pet monkey, which I'm positive he doesn't have.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a weird thing, but, yeah.
Plot holes. On top of plot holes, on top of plot holes.
Don't view these plot holes.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Wait, no. We got to change that too.
Oh, yeah,
Zordon's
no.
Gone.
Now we got to change that. So it's got to be.
Is there a reason to look at this plot hole?
Should we really look at this plot hole so deeply?
Yes, bitch!
Should we really?
I'm going to say no so I can have a cigarette break.
There you go. Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.